So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your step, and if you can play it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it. I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a crazy thing from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Meantime, Ed Martin looks to be running just a little bit late. Nothing unusual for us. You know, he's got that business that he keeps trying to run that Barack Obama built with for him. And, oh, guess what? He's here now. Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
All right, sir.
I was just making excuses for you, talking about how you were trying to run that business Barack Obama built for you, and you showed up.
Yeah,
so,
hey, guess what? Guess what I was doing last night after the show?
What's that?
Listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Got the
Thank
bike
you.
Running.
Huh? You got the bike running?
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky stiff, I tell you what. I need to get me another one. I got rid of my Harley last year. I got to the point where I just didn't have time to ride, and someone had got rid of it. Now I miss it. I still don't have time, but it's nice knowing it's in the garage if I get the time just to sneak out for a little while. You know what I mean? So I'm probably going to have
oh,
to
yeah.
work on that before too long. It's getting that time of year, and I'm getting itchy. In the meantime, of course, everything in the world is going on. You know, one quick... Huh? Don't make me hurt you. don't make me
it,
hurt
man.
You.
I'm going to interrupt you all night long with that.
That's okay. That's why I've got the kill switch. I can cut you out. We've got a lot... Man,
welcome
trying to, get
welcome
excited.
To Loud Radio.
There you go.
it's like Christmas in July. It's Loud Radio, and I like the sound of that bike starting up now that
yeah,
I got the ignition on it.
Well, to our new listeners, we actually do serious content here. To our new listeners, we're having a lot of fun right now. Martin's got his bike running. He's just trying to throw it at me because my bike is gone. So, you know, for you guys listening in, We will get better, really. We get to the news. One of the top stories.
Well, they might actually be enjoying that, me tormenting you just a little bit, you know.
Well, they could be. They could be. I mean, we don't know what our listeners are doing, but since we are talking about our listeners, since we are talking, I'm going to ball like a baby.
Okay,
I'm already doing it.
Yeah,
I'm doing that inside. I'm doing that inside as we speak. It just hasn't reached that outward stage yet. When it does, you'll know the breakdown will be complete.
There we go.
For our listeners, you guys are in the queue. Don't forget to hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, the numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. Ed, you're trying to throw me off track, man. We're not going to let that happen. Philadelphia today, great news. Great news as far as I'm concerned. Philadelphia abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell, as we have been talking about for weeks now, pissed off at mainstream media for not doing their job of covering this story because they're trying to cover up the bad side of abortion. Gosnell, of course, was found guilty of at least three counts of murder, first-degree murder on Monday, and he was also found guilty of involuntary manslaughter of a former patient. Well, he got sentenced today. He, from what I understand, he got two life sentences without parole instead of the death penalty. Now, there's already some people out there that have been screaming, why didn't he get the death penalty? Anybody else would. Well, when you're 72 years old, folks, you know, this guy gave up his right to appeal, and he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. He gave up his right to appeal. That's actually a plus for us because in this particular case, he's going to die in jail.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big time plus. And, you know, one of the reasons I am actually anti-death penalty is because it costs anywhere from 3 to 6 times as much to kill a man after all those appeals and all, you know, the special treatment is all worked through to get him to the death penalty. And, it's a mess. And it goes on and on and on. And, I mean, he's going to be 90 when they finally get around to killing him if it was death penalty. And, you know, at that point, then he's going to claim, you know, cruel and unusual punishment. So let's face it, they're never going to kill a 72-year-old stammering old man. Better that they just put him in jail, life with no parole, you know, double down on it, and put him in the general population. That should end poorly for him.
Well, in this particular case, I think that this is justice. But as you pointed out, the death penalty costs us 3 to 6 times as much. You know, when you get on death row and then you've got all these appeals and all the other crap going on, the amount of
that's
money that it costs a taxpayer,
man.
Yeah, it's a staggering. It's a staggering amount of money. So you know, by him saying, okay, I'll give up my right to appeal and I'll spend the rest of whatever life I have left in prison, he actually, to some degree, he actually did us a favor because he just saved us tons of money because he's not going to get the death penalty. Case will not be done until after he's dead anyway, so he's just going to spend money for nothing. So this actually I thought was a just sentence. What he did was certainly was unjust, but it was a just sentence.
Yeah. Well,
so
I
don't have any problems.
Honestly, he saved the anti-abortion pro-death penalty crowd a lot of high-profile contradictions and hypocrisy because that's always been one of my things. You know, you and I are both anti-abortion, but I also happen to like equality there. I respect human life, so it's like that would have posed a quandary for the anti-abortion crowd. It's like, okay, so you're pro-life, but death penalty. Now we've removed that from the equation and saved them from themselves in some cases.
Well, to some degree, I'll agree with you. I am anti-abortion. I am pro-life, but I'm also pro-death penalty, and I know that confuses a lot of people. But, you know, there are instances where I think the death penalty is necessary, and I think we don't use it enough in this particular case. And that's the thing about the death penalty. I do think that the death penalty should be decided, you know, a little bit better than what we do. But I also think that it should be a case-by-case basis. There's no automatic set of rules, in my opinion, that should automatically install the death penalty as an option. But we do that. But what's interesting about this, too, though, because you got both sides already arguing. Of course, people who are anti-abortion – you know, are jumping on board saying, hell no, you know, David Osteen, the executive director of the National Right to Life Committee, you know, that he's hoping that this is going to make more states pass bills that prohibit abortion. once the unborn child can feel pain. And he says this has helped more people realize what abortion is really about. But what's amazing to me is the people who are support legalized abortion are out there taking to the streets saying they understand, you know, Gosnell screwed up and he's going to get what he deserves. But they're actually trying to use this opportunity to make a case for even more abortions and government funding. You know, according to the president, Elise Hoag, the NARAL Pro-Choice America, Gosnell has been found guilty and will get what he deserves. But let's make sure these women are vindicated by delivering what all women deserve, access to the full range of health services, including safe, high-quality, and legal abortion care. And believe it or not, mainstream media is actually sounding that and trying to make the case for that. You know, so we gripe because mainstream media didn't get involved in covering the bad side of this. Now they're going to try to help the pro-abortion group, you know, justify this. Well, so many poor people are going to this guy, you know, and are putting their life in jeopardy and all this stuff. No, folks, it's not about that. It's not about that. This doctor was illegally killing kids. He was taking babies that were 30 weeks old and murdering them. They were being born live, so he was cutting their spines and killing them. This is what the guy was doing. You know, they've got, you know, proven that one baby, the baby was live for 20 minutes before a clinic worker snipped the neck. The third one was born in a toilet and moving, so another clinic employee severed the spinal cord. You know, we've got all of these different things. I mean, this is amazing to me. You know, the doctor even joked against one. You know, there was a lady who had a baby that was 30 weeks old, and Dr. Gosnell even joked, and I hesitate to call him doctor, Gosnell even joked that, you know, well, this kid's big enough to walk out on his own. You know, I mean, these are disturbing stories. That's
yeah.
Abortion. Go ahead.
Well, it's not only that, but, you know, the thing that I'm curious that we haven't heard about is the abortions he performed, obviously in a poor neighborhood and was performing them on poor women, you know, in some cases illegally, but how was he getting paid?
Well, that's a good question, and I've been trying to
they're sitting here trying to say, you know, access to abortion. Well, if these women were poor, then was this government funded? Was this on a medical card? Was this Medicaid, or, you know, what funded these abortions? And if in fact they were, and that's something that I think, you know, I have a sneaky suspicion that they were probably as brutal as they were and as unsanitary as they were. They were still paid for by the government, so it's like, okay, so your argument's moot at that point because, you know, these were, I would suspect these were government-funded abortions, and they were in a slaughterhouse.
And that's definitely a question that needs to be answered, and I tried looking for that answer this morning. I know he's getting some government funding, but I don't know what percentage of it is. And I started looking for that this morning, got involved, had to take care of some family business that took most of the day, so I didn't get a chance to finish that particular part of the research. But, you know, it is interesting because, you know, this narrow pro-choice America is talking about women deserve a full range of health services, including safe, high-quality, and legal abortion care. Planned Parenthood, ring a bell, anybody? Planned Parenthood gets money from the government, millions of dollars every year. We are actually funding Planned Parenthood abortions. They don't turn anybody away. That's what they're there for. You know, Planned Parenthood is already getting paid. There were options here is the whole point. There were options. Now, Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, this is really interesting because Pennsylvania authorities had not conducted routine inspections on all its abortion clinics for over 15 years. So these people are getting government money to take care of these. Our government is funding authorities to do inspections that they're not doing. You know, so you're seeing a mix here where the taxpayer dollar, once again, is being abused. You've got a doctor who committed murder, and a lot of his staff did too. They already pled to murder and things like that to avoid the court cases. You know, all on your government dollar. And I don't think there's any way to deny that abortion is murder. I don't think there's any way to deny that anymore. This case, to me, is the tip of the iceberg of what really goes on out there. Do you think I'm mistaken in that?
No. I mean, I'm sure people are going to argue that, you know, at some point when the plan detail and things like that, well, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, that's not murder. That's, you know, I happen to be Catholic. I happen to think that even that guava cells is an individual, you know, about to be. It doesn't look like it, but genetically it is. But, yeah, as far as mid- and late-term abortions are concerned, yeah, I mean, this guy put it front and center. I mean, this is our own little, you know, West Philadelphia Dr. Mengele. I mean, this dude's an animal. He is no better than any of the Nazis or anybody in any war atrocity that just murdered and experimented on and you know, apparently with little or no remorse, in defenseless human beings.
Well, and I totally agree with you there, and that is the whole problem. I mean, you know, we can sit here and argue semantics all day long about death penalty and things like that, but, you know, we continue to be told by our politicians that everything they do is to benefit our children. You know, if this is benefiting children by allowing this kind of atrocity to go on in America, we need to start, you know, with severing the spinal cords of our politicians. And I know that sounds bad, and it's intentionally so. Because if these guys are making decisions that are going to allow this to happen, and, you know, and this is not an isolated incident, folks. Planned Parenthood has already been caught, you know, lying to different people about how to get an abortion and everything else. They're not following the law in their abortion clinics. And we, the people, are still paying them millions of dollars of taxes. As a matter of fact, Obamacare is going to make it even easier and fund Planned Parenthood on a larger scale. They're out there doing the same thing in some cases. So we've got to make sure that we're vigilant in protecting our children, whether they're unborn or not. You know, if anybody has any choices here, it's the idiots, and I do say idiots, it's the bastards and the bitches, forgive the language, they go out there, get drunk at the bar, get knocked up, and then want to kill the baby because they don't want the responsibility for their own damn decision. That's the problem. That's the problem. To sit here and get pregnant because of unprotected sex, and I don't want anybody calling this show because I'll cut you off in a heartbeat, whining and moaning and groaning to me about, well, I got pregnant when I was on a pill, or I got pregnant when I was using a rubber. That is such a fallacy. There's no way in hell I buy it. That happens in 1% of cases. Abortion is a choice based on a bad choice that got you pregnant in the first place. That's a rant, I know, Ed, and I apologize, but I get so frustrated when I see stuff like this that, you know, I have no choice. So Gosnell's going to get what he deserves. You know, I think that was a good choice here, but we're going to definitely have to get on the bandwagon and find out what in the hell is really going on with these abortion clinics around the country. But I don't expect that to happen, you know.
No.
In the meantime, we've got so many things, Ed. Jesus Christ. We've got the IRS scandal, Benghazi scandal. We have got the Associated Press scandal. We have got another scandal that's getting ready to come down the pike, according to the Ulsterman Report. I have no doubt that this is going to happen. The Ulsterman Report, for you guys that don't know, and let me spell that for you. I think it's very, very valid here, but it's ulsterman.com. You know, this guy has been 100% on the stuff he puts out there. And he put out a story today that tells us that there is yet another CIA source that's going to drop a fourth bomb on top of Obama. There's something else coming. Would you be surprised by that?
No. And I'm at a loss for what it would be, to be honest with you. But, no, I mean, given... Like I say, some of the stuff I don't view as like cataclysmically, you know, flawed or sinister, but some of the stuff is, you know, it's, let's just say it's not been a good week for Obama. And you also forgot that one of the embassy staff in Russia is trying to recruit somebody to the CIA to do espionage, and the Russians are pretty much parading this boy around pretty much. Showing all his credentials, showing him on the ground, locked up. I mean, we've got that one too. That'll, you know, that happens. But yeah, it's not been a good week. So I wouldn't any more, you know, targeted IRS, using the IRS as your muscle, political, you know, just to squelch opposition, spying on, going around and not being straightforward even after the fact with the AP. That's the one that's going to hurt them. Because maybe now there's a little indignation with the media world, the news media, and as I like to refer to it, was talking to my neighbor earlier today and said, I said that whole AP thing where they appear not to be real happy about it. I said we should just call that when lapdogs attack.
Mm. I'm totally with you there. You know, one thing that let's make this perfectly clear, man. You know, when you start taking on the CIA, you have really, really screwed up royal. These guys don't play games. They know what the hell they're doing. I just put a link in the chat room for you guys that are there. You need to check this out, the Ulsterman Report. But it's very fascinating because, see, one of the things we've been talking about here, Ed, for a long time now, is the fact that Valerie Jarrett is the one who really runs the White House. Obama does anything she tells him to do. Valerie Jarrett has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, is Muslim at heart, and all of this stinks of the worst Chicago-style politics you can ever possibly imagine. And it's not just Benghazi, but we've been talking about this forever. Well, now Benghazi highlighted a lot of what folks like us have been talking about and started bringing some of this to the forefront. Now, in and of itself, Benghazi would be bad enough. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I think you would agree. But when you couple that with the IRS going after, you know, Republican or Tea Party 501c3s, I mean, the IRS even went after Billy Graham, for goodness sake. This is disturbing.
That IRS agent's going to hell. That's it.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's already condemned to hell, so, you know, what else could they do to him? But then we find out, again, it's not even necessarily the mistakes that are made. It's all the lies and cover-up.
Always a cover-up, yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, even when you talk about Benghazi, we had all the things going on, Obama swearing up and down that he said that this was an act of terrorism the day after it happened. Which was a lie, because immediately on that weekend, with Steve Croft of 60 Minutes, Croft specifically asked him. He said, "Mr. President, this morning you went out of your way to avoid the use of the word terrorism in connection with the Libya attack." Obama said, "Right." So Croft specifically asked him, "Do you believe that this was a terrorist attack?" And Obama, of course, danced around and says, "Too early to know exactly how it came about, who was involved, but it was an attack on Americans. But we're going to be working with the Libyan government to make sure we bring these folks to justice, blah, blah, blah." Well, as we now know, thanks to the testimony of Mr. Hicks and a few other people, even Libya president said, "We warned these people this was going to happen. We told them there was an attack going to happen, and they refused to listen to us." So now we have proof that Obama knew about this in advance, that this was a terrorist attack. We've got all kinds of witnesses, all kinds of correspondence, and yet today, it's amazing how things happen. Today, the media is out there covering Obama, talking about all these different daggone things going on in his administration, and they put a photo with him with a tear running down his cheek, and he had a tear running down his cheek when he was talking about Benghazi. So they're already trying to soften up anything that can happen to him. This is amazing to me how deep this cover-up goes all the way to media. But can he survive? Because you not only have Benghazi, which probably could have been survived, but you have the IRS situation, and you have the AP situation, and now we've got a fourth one coming. How does he survive all of this, Ed? Mr. Martin.
You there?
I am now. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, and you got to remember the spy was in Russia, because Kerry was just over there trying to, you know, get Putin and the Russians to, you know, at least stand down and not be so intransigent when it comes to Syria. But, you know, hey, the week after, fast. Like, just lost a lot of leverage in Syria. So, I mean, that one's going to blow up. But as I say, we've seen it for 5 years where they can pretty much get away with anything. I mean, to the point that during the debates, the journalist, the quote-unquote journalist, hops in and corrects Mr. Romney about something Obama. Thank you.
Right.
And they've been letting them get away with it. I think in the end, I certainly hope that the biggest turning thing is going to be the AP, the just going to be where they went in and they extracted. They, you know, they just basically went in and lifted the, you know, unbeknownst to me, just randomly took loads and loads of communications and was out, you know, digging in their sources and stuff, you know, reminiscent of communist Russia, the kind of crap you're the KGB getting into. So I think now that all the other stuff, the AP was probably, you know, the media nation is probably going to give him another pass until that happened. Now it's going to get real interesting to see if the anger sticks on this, and you know, and see if because once the media turns against you, and you know you're not perfect, they can destroy you. And,
but see, that's just it, though, because the media hasn't turned against him. I mean, they're sitting out there trying to act like they're doing a story, but the picture that they're putting in relation to that story is a picture with the president's head down and a tear trickling out of his right eye, and they're trying to create sympathy.
They still love him, and they haven't gotten to the bottom
right.
of it. Understand, it's possible that the you know, that we find out more about this AP. You know, this I don't even know what you call it, when they went in and just basically lifted all the data, this data mining on the AP for their sources and stuff. You know, this may get worse. And if, like the IRS scandal, if, like Benghazi, if it's got some legs, I think he's lost a few layers of protection with the, you know, with the mass news media here.
Well, I think you got some points there. And I also, you know, I mean, let's look at the players of this game. You mentioned John Kerry. You know, we know John Kerry is incompetent and dumb as shit. We really do. And I'm going to use language here tonight, folks, and I'm that angry.
Hello.
But we know this about John Kerry, okay? We know that White House spokesman Jay Carney is an idiot. There's no doubt about it, okay? But, you know, we also know that we can't trust the Republicans to do their job. A lot of the stuff that we now know, Republicans have known about for weeks, And it didn't get out there until somebody else put it out there. Now they want to jump on the bandwagon, which is typical of what Republicans do. We know that the Democrats aren't going to impeach their boy. We know they're not going to do that. So at the end of the day, I mean, hell, let's look at John McCain. We talked about him the other night. You know, John McCain is sitting out there trying, you know, the same thing he always does. We're not going to jump to conclusions. We need a committee to study this, blah, 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 blah. The same old crap that he always does. John McCain is nothing but a joke, always has been a joke, and will be a joke till he's gone. So we don't have any Republicans standing up to this. The Democrats are going to turn around and ignore it the best that they can. Okay, we're going to get a few low-level employees that will probably be terminated or allowed to resign seeking new interest. But when it gets right down to it, the power players that made these decisions that are destroying everything aren't going to be held accountable. So what are we as a people to do about this?
Well, if they're not held accountable and the media doesn't, as they say, like in Woodward and Bernstein, doesn't follow the money, doesn't follow the power, then, we're going to be stuck. Same place we've been stuck for a long time.
Well, I'm totally with you there, and that's one of the puzzling things about this whole mess. You know, in the meantime, you know, over at the Justice Department, Eric Holder has removed himself, from any decision to subpoena phone records from the Associated Press so that we can prove the stuff that was going on there. So Holder basically just stepped aside to cover his own butt, and he's going to get away with that too. So we're not going to get any justice with the Justice Department. We're not going to get any justice with the president. We're not going to get, you know, Valerie Jarrett, his right-hand man, because I don't think there's anything womanly about her. We're not going to get any justice there. These are the people, Hillary Clinton, you know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, these people are the ones doing all of this. So while we've got Obama scared to death about the Benghazi scandal that's blowing up in his face, we've got this whole AP story going on about, you know, stealing emails and doing illegal tapping, things like that. We've got the IRS scandal getting worse and worse as we go on. And yet nothing miraculously is happening. Why is that? Why are we allowing as a people, this is the thing for me, Ed, and I keep harping on this, why are we allowing as a people the Republican Party not to stand up and force the action You know, they want the limelight and get their little 15 seconds of fame on the local news, standing up like they've done something. But they've known about this for a long time. Why is it just now that anybody's willing to do anything? Why are we not willing to go all the way?
I have no idea. None whatsoever. I mean, it could be that they're keeping their powder dry, so to speak, and they realize that nothing rises to the to an impeachable level. Nothing, right? You know, they're not going to get it with Harry Reid in the Senate, running the Senate. So I think they're waiting to see how it plays out, because a lot of this stuff is borderline. It's like, yeah, Benghazi was a screw up. The cover up doesn't change what happened. So are you going to go all in on that? I don't know. You know, the AP thing, well, let them be pissed off and do what they got to do. The IRS thing, you know, again, it depends on how far, you know, how far down the rabbit hole, as you say, it goes. I mean, it could. I think a lot of the thing is going right now is as we know it. Politicians play it safe. They're not playing it to do the right thing. They're kind of out there, you know, measured actions, measured words. They're not going to go off the deep end either way. They're not going to be overly cautious either way, because they've got to strike a balance that gets them reelected. And that's what it comes down to. It's not the right thing. It's the thing that, strike the proper tone. It gets you reelected. Don't go in rabid or something, because a number of your voters still like Obama, kind of thing. So,
right.
I think you're just playing it cautious, because politicians, as politicians are, is the most important thing on their agenda every day, 24/7, 365, is getting reelected.
Well, you know, and I know you're right about that. I know you're right about that, because it's all self-serving interest. But, you know, when we've got, I mean, let's focus on the IRS stuff for a minute. Well, you know what? Better yet, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll take the bottom of the hour break, because I don't want to lose track when we get back. We'll take the bottom of the hour break. We'll come right back. We'll get into the IRS stuff going on. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I love that song, man. It tells you how it is. I get sick of the whining and crying, but we ignore all the big stuff like this Benghazi crap, the IRS, the AP, basically the Obama administration. And, you know, we're going into break. We're talking about this IRS scandal. You know, what's really amazing here, and for those of you who don't know, the IRS has been caught targeting, which isn't their job, intentionally targeting conservative groups, you know, like the 9/12 Project, anything labeled Tea Party. They had words that they were using to target conservative groups during the campaign for president in 2012. It actually started back in 2011, going into the primaries. And they were using this to try to keep conservative groups from funding their candidates, which is totally illegal. And the interesting thing about this, Ed, was at the beginning of this, they tried to say that it was a couple of rogue employees in Cincinnati who did this stuff and nobody knew about it. Then, of course, we found out that Lois Lerner, she's the person that oversees all tax-exempt groups for the IRS, actually knew about this in 2011, did nothing about it. Then we found out today, or yesterday, I should say, late yesterday, that, you know, this goes even further than that. We can now tie this to California and Washington, D.C., the IRS picking and choosing based on politics who to hold accountable. What do we say to this, man?
Well, like I say, and we're also finding out that it goes higher up. Like we were saying yesterday, it's gone on longer than they admitted, and it's gone on probably from higher up than they've admitted. And, you know, the thing is, and I'll put a disclaimer in, is in part I don't, you know, I don't really, not into nonprofits. You know, sometimes don't understand why people would do a nonprofit. But, you know, hey, really, you can run a for-profit company, you really don't have to pay much in taxes if you don't make that money.
Right.
As I've said in business before, sometimes people jam me for prices, and I'll say, hey, yeah, I appreciate the thought, but I'm really not into running a nonprofit. Because you know, if a for-profit business doesn't make any money, you don't pay any taxes, not much. But, the thing is a lot of these organizations, just like churches and everything else, this is where they get their money because they're able to, you know, they're able to fundraise, they're able to get in-kind contributions because it's tax-deductible. You know, people are more inclined to donate and money and time and resources because it's tax-deductible. And that being the case, you're taking, when the IRS stops in and selectively, you know, not only selectively enforces and selectively audits, but it appears as though they were very selective in even issuing nonprofit status. It's like some groups were really, really getting a proctal exam on some of this. Of course, some groups don't. And,
well,
yeah, so.
Well, that's true.
I mean, they were really trying to clip the wings of groups, and the thing is once you establish as a nonprofit, there are certain parameters you have to behave by, and, you know, you can get in a heap of trouble, just like our boys at Progress Kentucky. You know, you've got all sorts of filing requirements and behavior, you know, and reporting requirements that are involved. So, yeah, so, I mean, they can really, you know, you cross the line with a nonprofit, you can easily find yourself doing some criminal stuff.
Well, our good boys, I'm glad you brought up these boys at Progress Kentucky because those boys aren't even near done. For you folks who are still waiting for part five, my apologies. I've actually had to rewrite that because I can now tell you why Kurt Morris and Rob Holtzman and who they were assigned to and who they met with at Mitch McConnell's building. Rob Holtzman is a guy we've mentioned, and he's going to have some legal charges coming down fairly quickly. But Rob Holtzman had his insurance agency that he had just opened in that building that Mitch McConnell was in. And Rob Holtzman, of course, runs with Jeff Noble, Kurt Morrison, Sean Riley, all of them. So we'll get in more details on that in the next story, but that's why it's late. We've had to go back through and change some things. I want to go to the phones real quick because I really want to hear from this guy. This is Paul Holliger with Stop Invisible Taxes, or Stop It, as we call it. And when we talk about IRS and taxes, man, we've got to have Paul on. What's going on, my friend?
You have hit upon a topic that is near and dear to our hearts here at Stop
Imagine
Invisible
that,
Taxes.
Yeah. Imagine that. Go ahead.
You know that our basic position is that we really don't believe that the tax code as it now exists is anywhere close to being fair. And,
right.
And in fact, there are lots of ways to generate revenue to operate a government without having this confiscatory tax system that we have.
Okay.
But that having been said, I really want to just kind of touch on what Ed Martin's comments were regarding this whole nonprofit thing. I know a number of folks who've been involved in the political arena, and they've had several small startup organizations, and they have wrestled with this nonprofit versus profit status. And the common belief is that the nonprofit status is the way to go, so that you can get contributions. That makes it easier for donors to be able to contribute. Well,
right.
Well, first of all, political contributions aren't necessarily tax deductible anyway. Think about
right.
it. On your individual form, okay, your individual tax form, is there a spot on Schedule A that says, here's the amount of money that I gave to a political cause and it becomes tax deductible? And the answer is no. So all of this hand-wringing by these organizations that they want nonprofit status, I think is insane. Somebody who's going to give $50 to political cause, that $50 isn't going to make a 10 cents worth of difference on their tax form anyway, even if it was deductible. So it's not going to make any difference. So why are these organizations even worried about nonprofit versus profit status? I'm with Ed Martin on this. This is a worry that, first of all, should never be there for these kinds of groups. Secondly, and this is the more insidious aspect, when you want the Internal Revenue Service to grant you this special tax-exempt status, which in all likelihood you don't need anyway, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it anyway. You are surrendering your freedom to go out and participate in the free expression of your political opinion.
Well, that I'm in total agreement with.
So it doesn't make a lot of sense for any group that's going to be operating in politics, on any part of politics, to worry about getting nonprofit status. It's insane. You are deliberately putting handcuffs on you and your organization.
I'll be honest with you.
And the fact of the matter is, like I say, you pay a corporate tax rate based on your net profits at the end of the year. You know, and you might pay some intangible taxes or something on, depending on your state taxes. But the thing is, at the end of the year, hey, look, if you got the donations and you spent it on political activism for profit, it's marketing. You can expense it.
It's
a bit of a smart-ass joke, but yes, if you spend all your money and on things geared towards it and you're not going to profit, then you're a nonprofit C Corp or LLC or something. You didn't go a profit. Hello?
Well, yeah, and I'm totally with that. I mean, a lot of people at one time, and I was given serious consideration to turning MVM Media or MVM Radio and that kind of stuff into a nonprofit organization just because of the donations. Because, you know, there are times where I can see it being something worthwhile. For me personally, I decided against it. I didn't like all the hassle.
It still is a nonprofit, isn't it, Ed?
Well, it is. I'm totally with you on that. I'm talking, I phrase this, okay.
Somebody you guys get right. on that one.
It's beyond nonprofit. It's called below profit and worse. But no, you know what I'm trying to say, I guess, is instead of doing that, you know, structural thing, thinking that, you know, people were going to go ahead and donate money to keep this kind of stuff alive, you know, it almost made sense at one point because, you know, when you're somebody like me and this show and things like that, we're very controversial in the Louisville market. You know, quite frankly, it's a Democratic town. We've been blackballed with advertisers. I can prove that. I've actually talked to people that own businesses that have been told that if they advertise with us, you know, their businesses will be under IPL investigations, or a health department will miraculously show up to look at your restaurant. You know, those kind of things. They you know, it's totally illegal, but they're not willing to go on record in a court of law. So at one point, there actually was a thought process here to, you know, well, okay, if we do this as a charitable organization, then they can donate the money. They're not really advertising. It's going to charity, and it will help us further the message. You know, and I ultimately decided against that just for a lot of the reasons that you pointed out, guys. You know, you've got the red tape. You've got a position here. You know, chances are, you know, we're gonna stay nonprofit no matter which way we go. For now, we'll work on a few things. But I understand the need to some degree for some people to seek that designation. But in this particular case, when we're dealing with the IRS, you know, in this particular case, we've got these people also being targeted, and that is the biggest red flag of all, is that the IRS has enough power, you know, for political situations to target you based on your political beliefs and then try once again to lie about it. We've got Obama's tied up in lies with Benghazi. We've got testimony from IRS employees, including Ron Bell. You know, he went on record and said IRS officials in Washington and California were actively, aggressively working against conservative groups and a nonprofit. We have got Doug Shulman, commissioner for the IRS in 2012, had heard in 2012, May of 2012, from the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, you know, that Cincinnati was doing this stuff. They had reports in Washington. They had reports in California and all this stuff. You know, the current acting commissioner, Stephen Miller, was briefed and knew what was going on, yet nothing was done to stop it because it was coming from higher up. Even Senator Orrin Hatch, everybody knows who Orrin Hatch is. You know, he wrote to the IRS three times last year, you know, wanting information on this of what the hell they were doing. And, you know, the commissioner actually lied. Stephen Miller actually lied to the senator, you know, and said that these groups weren't being targeted. Now we know better. Now we know the IRS was deliberately lying and deliberately lying to Congress, not just us. They're lying to Congress as well. When does the buck finally stop?
I do want to say that, you know, the fact we're talking about nonprofits, but it doesn't really matter. You know, again, you know, like I said, like Paul and I agree, it's, you know, the whole nonprofit thing is probably overrated. I mean, I'm sure it works for some people. But the fact of the matter is, if these groups weren't nonprofit and they were C Corps, LLCs, or something like that, then they're still being targeted. They're still being harassed. They're still being audited. You know, and whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit company, that's wrong.
Well, there you go, and that's what I agree with. Paul, go ahead.
Since I got in late on this, did you all cover the fact that this Cincinnati Service Center evolving scandal, Cincinnati is the only Internal Revenue Service Center in the entire system that handles nonprofit applications, which means that it can be easily manipulated, and they will never do those things, those kinds of things, without approval from way up the chain.
And I had not covered
out,
that.
As you pointed out, though, all of these people up and down the chain of the Internal Revenue Service they're now being exposed for their role in lying and covering up somebody's directive from very high in the chain.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's exactly it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, also, you know, we talked about Cincinnati. I think it's funny to me when I read on this how often they say, well, it was somebody in Cincinnati. It was some, you know, as if to say, and as Paul says, that's the only place it's done. That is the headquarters for the nonprofit certifications and stuff. So they're making it sound like, well, it's just some activist in the Midwest. He wasn't part of the D.C. crew. It's like, no, if he was in Cincinnati, the top of the food chain for nonprofits was there. You know, Cincinnati's got like a bat phone to D.C., but I just think it's funny the way they say, well, this didn't come from D.C. It's like, well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but doesn't matter because that's the epicenter for that type of organization. So that is the top of the food chain. You say it didn't come from D.C., but that's bull crap because Cincinnati does not answer to Kansas City or Chicago or anywhere else. Cincinnati only answers to D.C.,
and just for the record, so, you know, if you really want to go out on a limb, Cincinnati is in Hamilton County, Ohio. Hamilton County has been charged with all kinds of voter fraud and everything else to elect Barack Obama. And, you know, so there's a lot of people there who have already been accused of doing illegal things to try to get the president elected, this really wouldn't be that much of a stretch. Let's go to the phones. I think this is our good friend Mayo.
That it is.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. What was that? You needed two flat tires on whose bike?
Do what?
Since Ed was teasing you, I thought you needed two flat tires on whose motorcycle?
I got that. I realized it as soon as I said what. Yeah, I'll give you the address in a minute. I already conned him to give me the address. I'll give it to you when we get off air so nobody else shows up at his house.
All right, cool.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the Gosnell thing, like you said, the appeal, but one thing you hadn't mentioned, Barack Obama is the only president that has actually spoken out for Planned Parenthood. And
well,
I'm kind of taking a back step here.
This is true. He's also increased their funding. This is true.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the litmus test,
go ahead.
With you know, what's going on with the IRS, and why didn't somebody say, oh, well, you know, fair is fair. Let's just, for say, do a investigation into Acorn or whatever their name is, Progress for America, or they changed their name three times now, and say, oh, were they given any special things, or were they – what do you call it when you speed somebody through the process, the line? You know, they, you know, cut all the red tape for them so they can breeze through.
Yeah. Well, let's not go there. We don't want to be bringing Acorn into this. Those poor misguided souls. You know, we don't want anything to do with that. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's all been a joke. You know, but I tell you honestly, the one story out of all of this, we've got Benghazi massacre going on, and that's all that can be said is it's a massacre. You know, you've got the IRS deal. But you know, the one thing that I think they're going to focus on more than any of this, if the media decides to do anything to Barack Obama, and I don't think they will, if they decide to even remotely act like they care about holding him accountable, the story that's going to cause it is a story about the Associated Press.
Yeah, because what gets me is if they can go after the AP, somebody that big, what about people who speak out locally, such as yourself? I mean, how do you know whether you have a phone tap or not?
Well, I know mine are tapped. That's not an issue. I'm not kidding with you there. I mean, you know, I catch them breaking into my computer all the time. I catch them getting into my phones. I've got to change stuff all the time to get these bandits and these hackers out of there. I know what's going on. There's no doubt about it. You know, at one time here a few years ago, we actually tracked down one of the guys who broke into it. Trust me, he learned a pretty quick lesson real quick. But, you know, the thing is, the AP, and what's really interesting here is, I have a hard time believing that the AP is not really part of some kind of a scheme here. It's setting this all up, because the AP has not went out on a limb to go after Barack Obama. So I'm kind of wondering if this isn't one of those setup deals. You know, working in collusion on something. I don't know. I know this conspiracy theory stuff, but there's a lot of questions there I've still got. So we've got Benghazi, we've got the IRS, we've got the AP, we've got another story coming down. You know, we're getting rumors, if you will, that there are three Democrats that are finally ready to leave the rest of the Democrats and stand out on their own against Obama because of Benghazi and some other things. What this fourth story that's going to come out is, I have no idea. I can't wait to see it. But yet, once again, the American people are strangely silent and not taking to the streets or doing anything about it. That's the most disturbing thing of all.
Well, the thing is, what gets me is, I mean, it was so bad even SNL did a parody on the hearings. And they crammed all this information in one day, and it was so much information at one point, I think even Fox News either split-screened it or broke over to the stupid Jody Arias trial.
Yeah.
Instead
now,
of even at the time.
I think Mayo's right. I think it's literally a new cycle overload. And as I say, it just keeps coming. I mean, how many people know about the, like you say, the CIA guy trying to recruit spies in Russia? You know, it's like, oh, my God, it's, you know, it's coming so fast. It's like I joke with people in martial arts. I look at it and say, boy, I'm going to hit you so fast. I'm going to hit you so many times that you're going to say, stop it, guys, stop it. You know, I think that's where we're at. We're at overload. It's like Benghazi, okay, that had the spotlight for a while, and then bam. And then,
so is that why the American people are so apathetic? Is because they can't process all of this because of the overload?
Well, I don't think they're apathetic. I think the conspiracy theory people are just real quietly and really enjoying it now. They're like, you know, quietly just like kind of being smug. I think the loyalists are sitting back going, very quietly thinking, oh, crap, another one? Just got overload. I think we've got a whole bunch of people going, wow. You know, it's like a big wreck in NASCAR. You look at it, and for the first few minutes, you're like, holy hell, did that really just happen? You know, and that's kind of, I got to admit it. I sit back and look, and it's like another headline comes through, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
But
it's part of the problem, I think. Also, yeah, Paul. Conservatives not having the backbone and standing up, and like with the Tea Party or the Patriot thing, there's people I talk to, and they think these guys are like nut militias out in the woods and stuff, and wanting to take over the government.
Well, I know, and that's the thing, because that's the plan that they set in motion. Go ahead, Paul.
I think expecting quick reaction from the masses is a little bit unrealistic. This kind of stuff, and let's assume that we've got information overload going on right now. This kind of stuff takes a little while to sink in and for people to really process it. And this Internal Revenue Service thing is the one issue that I think will hit home the closest with most people. And I think they've got to sit on it and let it stew and simmer a little while before they will say, I've had enough. It's going to take a little while. And I know
guess
you like to see instant action on this kind of stuff. I don't think we're going to see instant action, but I think that we're going to see steady action once it gets put into motion.
Well, here's what I think, and I know you're right about what you're saying, you know, but for me, I look at Watergate and the things back then, the way that the media approached everything during that era. And I know that the media then was probably about as impartial as they were ever going to get. You know, they didn't let Nixon off the hook. They held him accountable. You know, they did different things to report the facts and let us determine things based on the facts. I know that they're covering up today. And when you talk about the instant results, yeah, you're right. Because one thing that sickens me is when you think about this Benghazi massacre, if these four people would have been killed at a house here in Louisville out in the East End, it would have been a crazy time here. You know, when the Boston Marathon bombing took place, you know, these people were held captive in their old homes, illegally detained, but it took them 30 seconds to run out to the street and applaud the daggone police for taking away their constitutional rights. You know, thousands of them. They took to the streets immediately to say, thank you for police for abusing me because you got this one guy you were after. So here we've got one guy, Barack Obama, we've got Hillary Clinton, we've got everybody else that's involved in this Benghazi massacre, and nobody's taken to the streets over that. This involved American lives. It was a big deal in Boston, but it's not a big deal, you know, anywhere else on American soil with what they've done here because this incident happened in Benghazi. When you look at the IRS situation, you know, everybody fears the IRS, whether they admit it or not. But everybody always knows that the IRS has all the power. This administration has given the IRS more power, given them more power, and now we know what they do with it. And then, of course, you've got this simple thing called the Department of Justice, you know, where there's no justice at all. You know, there's a lot of variables here that I just don't like. So I can't understand. I understand one incident not really trying to stand up. You want to wait and see how it plays up. But when you get so many back to back to back, you've got a serious problem. You have to stand up, and people don't. You know, now this fourth thing I keep alluding to will probably be out Thursday or Friday, and I can't wait to see that myself because it'll come at the end of the week, like it always does when bad news hits, so that it doesn't get a lot of play over the weekend on the president. The media is going to make sure of that. So, again, I know I'm that guy that likes these instant results, but I don't think we're seeing a situation where anybody can say it was instant results. Benghazi happened the last year. It was covered up for 6 months, but this story has been going on for months. That alone should have ignited the people and did not. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, you are. Look, Bill Clinton was, at the time, he was an immensely popular president with the masses. Immensely, okay?
Okay.
It took a while for both the Senate and the House to arrange and gather the evidence that they thought they needed to go forward on impeachment, okay? And it certainly, in the end, while he wasn't impeached, it certainly, while he wasn't removed from office, it certainly tarnished him big time.
Okay.
Okay? So I think that you're being a little bit too pessimistic when it comes to the Obaminator, because and I'm going to call him what he is, the liar in chief can't always get away with every lie. And I think that his lying is catching up with him right now. I think it is. It's catching up with him.
Well, I know his lies are catching up to him, but again, the exposure isn't. This guy has been lying for all of his adult life, and we've got the proof of it, but mainstream won't do it. So I don't know. I don't really see anything going to happen to Barack Obama other than having some egg on his face. I don't think that anybody of any note is going to be held accountable. But I do know this. We are already out of time. It's an hour already. That is fantastic. I can't believe how quick this goes. Mayo, Paul, thank you so much for your calls. I really appreciate it as always. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Well, like I said, I think if we were talking near the end, I think we've got just an information overload going on. I think we're looking at sort of a 0 to 60 in 1 second kind of thing. It's like this guy was great, this guy's great, the media's telling us this guy's great, everything he does is great, and then bam, all of a sudden Benghazi. Tax code. Oh, wait a minute. This guy did the same, this guy, this administration, this IRS did the same thing Nixon did. Oh, my God. And now the AP is going, you what? you boosted files and you boosted records from us without us knowing it? You bastard. I think we just got information overload right now. And I think, I think the AP's got to work through their stuff. The IRS and the nonprofits, they're not going to let it go. I can guarantee you that. They're not going to let it go because they were targeted. So they have a vested interest in making sure this crap doesn't happen again. I think, at some point we might even see the left wing, the liberals type organizations like unions and stuff get involved in this targeting thing, because if it's not addressed properly, sooner or later there's going to be a conservative president, a Republican president, and if this thing just doesn't, there's no consequences, then they realize they could be targeted next time around. So I think it's got legs. I think between the whole mess of them, I'm not as cynical as you are. I think we've just got overload. I think we need to, the media and the interested parties are simply working through and trying to figure out which one of these has legs, who's going to move to the forefront and either take the credit or bear the brunt, whichever way you want to look at it. So I think we're getting there. I think it's going to be very, very interesting. And I'm especially intrigued by the AP thing. I want to see if these guys grow a set or not.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things to this, and I'm curious because you mentioned unions, and I'll tell you why that makes me kind of curious. Because, we know that the union PACs have problems, these exempt 501c3 union PACs. We had that proven right here in Louisville just a couple of years ago in the 2010 elections when the teachers union illegally coordinated with two candidates for office, Brian Simpson for state rep and David Toborowski for the school board. They illegally coordinated this, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on their behalf to try to help them get elected. Totally illegal. Got caught, and there was nothing done to them. They didn't even get so much as a fine. Nothing.
No, and they did their best to serve up the candidates as opposed to the professional campaigners like the unions.
Right, exactly. So so we know this kind of stuff goes on. If we're going to start targeting, PACs, then let's target all of them. You know what I mean? If you're going to go after conservative groups, you go after. But you're not going to see that, especially here in Louisville. There ain't no way in hell anybody in Kentucky is going to take on the Democrats in Louisville. It's just not going to happen. So we see this kind of proof out there, but none of these people are ever targeted. Ones who have already been proven to be guilty never get targeted. Instead, we go after conservative groups so we can help our president get reelected so that he can continue giving away the freebies or whatever else he does. Paul called Barack Obama liar-in-chief. I totally agree with that. 100% plus I agree with that. But everything that Barack Obama is what the non-traditional mainstream media has been pointing out for years. The things that he's getting caught with now are because of decisions that he's always made, his decision-making process. We've pointed that out on his show religiously. We have so many others around the country that do that. Rush Limbaugh was actually blamed today by the administration because of the people getting in an uproar and looking negatively at Obama and his presidency, blaming Rush Limbaugh. Think about that, folks. One man has a radio show, and he gets blamed for all the problems at the White House? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's how pathetic we have gotten in this country. And that's where Barack Obama has led us, and that's what people are buying. It's time to wake up. We can't take this anymore. I'm getting sick myself of every day. You know, when you go through, you try to do things. I would love to have nothing more on my plate to do in the morning than to get up, go to a job somewhere, and forget about everything else. Really, truthfully. And people say, well, you don't have to do what you do. Well, yes, I do. Because I have to stand up. It's in my nature. And that's what most people have got to get back to. You have to stand up to make a difference. You have to be recognized. And if you're not willing to stand up and make a difference, then don't sit back and whine to me when this dictatorship and everything else takes over in America and you get this oligarchy and you're sitting back saying, boy, I wonder what it was like to be free. I don't remember. It's your fault. Period. That's it for tonight. Ed Martin, thank you so much. We'll see you next week, as always.
Yes, sir.
And enjoy your bike, my friend.
I was going to say, as a parting shot, you know what I'm getting ready to do right now?
Probably go for a nice ride.
No, I'm going to wax my big, black, shiny motorcycle.
Well, I'll tell you what you can wax, my friend. have a great night, partner. I'll see you next week. Tomorrow night, folks, Dale the Truth will join us, as always, on Wednesday night. And don't forget Thursday night at 7 as well, TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And Sunday night at 7 with Liberty Unbridled and our good friend Kim Mulman. With that in mind, that's a wrap. You folks have a great night. It's good hearing from you. Take care.